Good evening. Welcome to Everything All the Time on this here 24th of December 2018. I'm finally finding myself in the right place. Tonight is not almost Christmas. It's also not just past Thanksgiving. It's not in between Halloween and Thanksgiving. It's not just past New Year. It is the 24th of December. It is Christmas Eve. You are listening to my first Christmas show, which is broadcasting on Christmas Eve. I am finally in the right place at the right time. This is Everything All the Time, issue 19. I'm your host, Rob Van Erv, and I'm happy to be here. Let's jump into this special evening with a little bit of history. I was going to say another word, but it really is history. I want to talk about Reginald Fessenden. However, he was born in October 6, 1866 in East Bolton, Quebec, Canada, and therefore maybe his last name might be pronounced as Fessenden. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. He was a Canadian-born inventor who did a majority of his work in the United States and also claimed U.S. citizenship through his American-born father. During his life, he received hundreds of patents in various fields, most notably ones related to radio and sonar. Fessenden is best known for his pioneering work developing radio technology, including the foundations of amplitude modulation radio, that is, AM radio. His achievements included the first transmission of speech by radio in 1900, and the first two-way radio telegraphic communication across the Atlantic Ocean in 1906. This is important because in 1932, he reported that in late 1906, to be specific, on December 24, 1906, he also made the first radio broadcast of entertainment and music. Although a lack of verifiable claims or verifiable details, there's some doubts, you know, about this claim. Well, we're going to ignore the feasibility of these claims, and we are going to play you, what am I saying, we? I'm going to play you a remake of the broadcast that Reginald Fessenden made on December 24, 1906.
Good evening. This is Professor Reginald A. Fessenden speaking to you from Brant Rock, Massachusetts, at the tower of the National Electric Signaling Company. I'm going to play an Edison recording of Handel's Largo. Next, I will play O Holy Night on the violin, followed by a short passage from the Bible. Thank you. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Merry Christmas to all. We will be repeating this program next week at the same time on New Year's Eve. And if you receive this program, please write to us here at the Grant Rock Station. Good night to all.
We now know that Fessenden might have overstated the reach of this broadcast just a little bit. But that's okay. It still happened. And to stay within that kind of realm, the next piece of music coming up is by Luisa Tetrazzini. She was an Italian coloratura soprano of great international fame. Her voice was remarkable for its flexibility, thrust, steadiness, the tone. She was highly successful in her operatic and concert career in Europe and America from the 1890s through the 1920s. But her final years were marred by, you know, poverty and ill health. She was born in Florence to a military tailor. And she began singing at the age of 3. And her first voice teacher was her elder sister, Eva Tetrazzini, who also was a successful singer. To make a long story short, the first part of her career was spent mainly in the Italian provincial theaters and touring in Russia. She performed to considerable acclaim in St. Petersburg and in Spain and in South America. Her 1890s repertory consisted primarily of lyric coloratura parts such as Violetta, Filine, Oscar, Gilda, and Lucia. Tetrazzini made her American debut in San Francisco in 1905. The Metropolitan Opera's general manager, Heinrich Conried, took an option on her services at that time, but unaccountably failed to engage her. After great success, she went on to New York, where she was a sensation, eventually working under contract for Oscar Hammerstein. After some legal difficulties, however, in New York that blocked her from performing, she held a press conference and declared, I will sing in San Francisco if I have to sing there in the streets, for I know the streets of San Francisco are free. This line became famous. She won her legal case, and her agent announced she would sing in the streets of San Francisco on a clear, crystal clear Christmas Eve in 1910. At the corner of Market and Kearney, near Lawless Fountain, Tetrazzini climbed the stage platform in a sparkling white gown, surrounded by a throng of an estimated 200,000 to 300,000 San Franciscans, and serenaded the city she loved.
Oh!
Tetrazzini was short and quite stout as she aged, but she could definitely act on stage, especially in lively or comic roles, and she was a very good musician too, and she possessed an amiable and zestful and vivacious personality. However, she had a bitter feud with Nellie Melba, another fine soprano at Covent Garden, but she was generally well-liked by other colleagues, especially Enrico Caruso, with whom she was close friends, and Frida Hempel. Adelina Patti, the premier soprano of an earlier generation, and not known for generosity towards other singers, was an admirer of Tetrazzini's singing. Another fine point, the pasta dish Tetrazzini is named after her. Now I feel, of course, compelled to play you a couple of things out of that history, notably a piece by Nellie Melba and, of course, a piece by Enrico Caruso.
Oh,
That was Nelly Melba's farewell performance at the Royal Opera House in 1926 in London. And the Enrico Caruso after that was Minuit Chrétien from 1916 in its original French. Two more little funny pieces of information. Nellie Melba took her last name as a stage name. She derived it from the name of the city of Melbourne, her native Melbourne, I think. And Caruso died, sadly, in 1920, but, as I understand it, also on Christmas Eve. So it was suited for me to play that. But maybe let's just leave history be history for a minute and let's listen to something happier and more, can we say, Christmassy. Let's listen to the American Boy Choir with Carol of the Bells.
Christmas is here.
Okay, I quickly squeezed in Gossec, the Suite de Noël Adagio and Le Chant, recorded by Don Jackson and the London Symphony Orchestra, I think in 2005. It's on one of those Christmas albums, Winter Themes for Winter Times, or, you know, I can't remember. Anyway, I'm trying to liven it up a little bit, and not speed it up, but liven it up so that, you know, you can actually maybe not sing along, but I don't know what, make it a little easier on the ear, not to have everything way too heavy on you. Therefore, I'm now going to play something that was, I think, made in 2016, the United States Navy Band with Dueling Jingle Bells.
At home when Christmas times are gone. And you hear them bells ring up, bringing joy to all. Don't you hear them sing? When it's showing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. is calling, my old home is a calling, tall pines are humming, Christmas time's a coming. And you hear them bells ring a bringing joy to all, you hear them sing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, and I know I'm going home.
Yeah, and that was Bill Monroe. It's getting better all the time. Maybe this is when we're getting to the part of the show where we can all sing, who cares how cold and gray the day may be? Wait until dark and we'll be warm. Now, you know what? Just forget it. We'll play the original.
Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. Was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Despite the Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was gone.
Okay, so briefly, that I did play the original by Scott Walker, Wait Until Dark, from his Scott 2 album. Then December from The Seasons by Tchaikovsky. And that last funny little bit was Snoopy's Christmas versus the Red Baron by the Royal Guardsman. As you can tell, I'm trying to liven it up a little bit. And so, without much more ado, here comes Shonen Knife and Iggy Pop.
Merry Christmas. ho, ho.
Lead.
Ride a red nose reindeer. Does it turn a pie?
Okay, that was it for our first hour of Everything All the Time 19, the Christmas Eve show. We'll be right back after the following messages. You are listening to WGXC ACRA. This is Rob Van Erv, your Everything All the Time host. Don't hang up. We will be back with more glittering prizes full of merry, merry, merry. Merry, merry. Merry.